Good Friday afternoon. It is time for your 101 with Dr. B. I am Dr. B. Thank you so much for joining me today on the platform. Happy Friday to you. If this is your first time for joining me on the 101 with Dr. B, please put the number one in the comment. Let me know what city, what state, and or country that you're joining me from. If it's not your first time for joining me on this platform, go ahead and let me know that you're there so I can acknowledge that you're there so I can just say hello to you. Again, welcome to the 101 with Dr. B. I am Dr. B. Thank you so much for joining me today. If it's your first time for joining me on the platform, please go ahead and put the number one in the comment. Let me know what city, what state, and or country that you're joining me from. If it's not your first time for joining me today, go ahead and let me know you're there so I can acknowledge and say hi to you, to say hello, to say thank you for joining me. I greatly appreciate your support. You're taking time out of your schedule to join me on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 12:30. Hey, Big Sis V, how are you, girly? It's good to see you on. You've been missing for a minute. Hey, I hope all is well. Give me a call later. Give your little sister a call later. We got to catch up. So it's good to have you on today from Phoenix, out of Arizona. So thank you for joining. And as that you're on, go ahead and start tagging some people. Go ahead and share the podcast friends on your page. Invite them to come on in, and we're going to see what the Lord says to us today, what he has to say to us on this Friday, August the 6th. And we're going to see what God has to say. So go ahead and start inviting some people to come on in, come on in, come on in, come on in. Let me see if I know some. Hey, Sharon, how are you? Hi, Curtis, how are you? Thank you for joining me. Always good to have you on with me. Thank you. So go ahead and start tagging some people. Tagging some people in the share the podcast with them to invite them to come on in. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're not going to belabor the time. So on this platform, we talk about biblical nuggets. We talk about spiritual nuggets because as Christians, we are mandated. We are governed by a certain way. Though we live in the world, we're not of the world, and we are not to live our lives according to the world's standards. So on Wednesday, we talked about a word that is a word that is the very essence of who God is. And that Hebrew word is called hesed, H-E-S-E-D. I think I'm going to pick back up right there on that word hesed as to what it means and what it means to us. It's the very essence. It's the very divinity of who God is. And as Christians, as believers, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God's grace through his son Jesus, that means we have a mandate. That means that we govern our lives according to biblical principles. We govern our lives according to God's word is that God's word is truth. Emet, E-M-E-T, is the Hebrew word for truth. We govern our lives and we live our lives according to the biblical principles to the best of our abilities with the power of the Holy Spirit. So in this word hesed, H-E-S-E-D, it's the very essence of who God is. It's his very divinity. So when we talked about this word on Wednesday, I'm going to bring it to, I'm going to talk about it again. And I'm going to show you or try to or attempt to show you what your responsibility is as a believer. As a believer, your role in God's community, your role as part as being a follower of Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility, we have a mandate on our lives that in order for us to move and progress forward, in order for us to be who God has destined us to be, there's a manual that we have to follow. So it's just like if you're on any job or you're part of any country club or you're part of any fraternity or frat club, whatever, there are guidelines that you have to follow. There are dues that you have to pay. There, even if you're part of a church, there are certain mandates that you have to follow, especially if you are a part of like a private club, like a 24-hour fitness club or LA Fitness or something. There are dues, there are things that you have to govern your life and govern yourself by. So what I'm saying is this, because you are a part of that form or because you are a part of that particular organization or that facility, that means there's a certain way that you have to govern your life according to being a part or having that particular membership. As a Christian, it is exactly the same way in God's community. That a part of God's community, we have a certain mandate that we govern our lives according to. This word hesed, H-E-S-E-D, is the very essence, as I stated, of who God is. The very divinity of him. So this word, hesed, Hebrew word, You won't see the word hesed itself in the Bible, but what you will see, the English versions of the word hesed, because hesed is a Hebrew word, you will see the words like long-suffering, kindness, grace, forgiveness, mercy. Those are the very essence of who God is. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. And so, therefore, we have to govern our lives according to those precepts, according to those mandates as to who we are in the body of Christ. Stay with me. As a part of this community, there's a responsibility for you and I. So as God is who he is, the very things that he extends to you and I on a daily basis is what? Grace, mercy, long-suffering. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He looks beyond our faults. So as a Christian, a part of this community, we have a responsibility to render unto other individuals that are believers and Christians, that we have a responsibility to render to them that which God gives unto us. So that means that as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower in this community, we don't get to live or govern our lives according to the way we want to. We govern our lives according to the biblical principles and the mandates that God has established in and through his word. What that means is that when God tells us to forgive individuals, we have to render forgiveness to that individual. It has nothing to do with our feelings and or our emotions. It has to do with our obedience unto our God. When you are a part of God's community, we are not governed by our emotions. We are not governed by our feelings, but we are governed by our obligations, responsibility. Remember, I just used as an example that when we are a part of a particular social club or an organization or a particular membership somewhere, there are certain rules, certain guidelines that we have to govern our lives according to, right? There are certain standards we have to follow, right, to be a part of this membership or to have this membership. It is the same thing as a Christian. It is the same thing as a believer and a follower of the Most High God. So it's not governed. We are not governed by our emotions. We are governed by our obligations, our responsibility. Once we accepted God's grace, his hand, that means you and I have a responsibility in the body of Christ. We have a responsibility in the community. What that means is this. Like I said on Wednesday, think about a circle of about 20 people. You are a part of a circle of 20 people. And if everyone in that circle of those 20 individuals, if everyone governed themselves according to extending grace, mercy, forgiveness, long-suffering, kindness, imagine how powerful those 21 individuals will be. So if you have a pocket of different groups, cell groups of 21 people, total 5 people, 10 people, imagine all those individuals in that particular circle, that everyone was on one accord extending grace, mercy, forgiveness, long-suffering, mercy. Look how, and love, look how powerful that circle will be. And those individuals extend that same thing to everyone they come in contact with. See, that is how it is in the body of Christ. As a believer, that is our responsibility, that we are to go about doing good. It's not about emotions. It's not about our feelings, because think about it for a minute. How often are you disobedient to God based on your emotions? Come on, y'all gonna talk to me today? How disobedient are you to God? So when God tells us to forgive individuals, but if we're caught up in our emotions, how often do you forgive that person? You don't, because you are being governed by your emotions versus being governed by your obligation in accepting that grace. Oh my God, I'm gonna say that one again. Governed by your emotions versus being governed by your obedience in the obligation of the free gift that you accepted from Christ. And that's why there's a breakdown in the community, because we are governed by our emotions, we are governed by our feelings versus being governed by our obedience. when we are obedient to God and we do that which is instructed in the Word of God, that means we become, as a Christian, as a believer, this word hesed means that we govern our lives and we extend to other individuals the very thing that God gives to us. And being a Christian means that you are being, you are doing, you are evolving. See, that has to do with your, like your faith. Faith is a verb. That means you have to do something. You have to, you can't just sit on the sideline of life. That means you have to be, you have to participate in life. As a Christian, you can't say you're a Christian and you sit on the sideline of life and you do nothing. Say that again. As a Christian, you cannot say you are a Christian and you're following Christ and you sit on the sideline of life and you refuse to get in life. You refuse to do. Because as a believer, it requires you and I to do. It requires you and I to do something. I'm going to give an illustration. So, Hebrew word, hesed, right? As a Christian, as a believer, we have a responsibility to do. We have a responsibility to become. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he says he's becoming a new creature. To become means to do. To become means you have to participate. To become means you have to let go of some things. To become means you have to do things the way God has instructed for us to do. Because if we do things the way we want them to do, we make a mess of things. All of us operate in our carnality, when we operate in our own flesh, because we have no regards for another person's feelings, another person's emotions, another person's well-being, when we are selfish. Being a Christian has nothing to do with our feelings or our emotions, has everything to do with us being obedient. It's about us doing what is mandated in the Word of God. So I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if any comments are coming down here or not. I only see one that's verse started out. So hopefully somebody put a comment down there so I can see if you're coming, because I need you to talk to me today. This right here, I'm going to ask you, what is this that I'm holding in my hand? I'm going to wait for you to tell me what this is. What do you believe this is? It's not a trick question by any means. It's not a rhetorical question. But literally, what would you say this is that I am holding in my hand? I can guarantee you, everyone that's listening to me under the sound of my voice or looking at me, you're going to tell me, Dr. B, that's for water. It's water. It's a bottle of water. But what if I tell you that it's not a bottle of water? I'm pretty sure you're going to be looking at me pretty strange to say, what is she talking about? It is evidence. It's obvious. It is a bottle of water. But I'm going to tell you, it's not a bottle of water. It doesn't become a bottle of water until it does what it was made to do. Y'all better walk me today. As a Christian, we are required to do, just sit and exist. This substance that I am holding in my hand that has not been opened or anything yet, it is only existing. It is not doing anything that it was made to do. What was water made to do? Water is made to keep us hydrated. Water purifies, water cleanses us. Water washes the toxins out of our bodies, right? But that's not what this is doing. See, this doesn't become, perform what it was made to do. I love it. As a Christian, if we are not participating in life, if we are not doing according to God's mandates and his principles, we are not being, we're literally existing. Come on, Holy Spirit. We're only existing until we begin to move, until we begin to do what is mandated of us to do through the Word of God or throughout the Word of God. That is when we are becoming. But if we are sitting on the sideline of life because we don't want to participate, because we don't like certain things, or we don't like certain things the way it is going, that means we are being disobedient to God's principles, to God's teaching, which means it is impossible to please God. The Word of God says without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Word of God tells us as well, Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice, because when we obey, when we follow, when we submit, we are telling God we trust him. We are saying, God, lead us. We are saying, God, we trust you for the plans and the purpose that you have for our life. That means we die to our carnality, we die to our selfish ways, we die to self-centeredness, and we allow God himself to lead us in the path that he has already established for your life and for my life. So on this substance here, we say that it's a bottle of water, but it does not become a bottle of water until it is doing. Now, when I open the lid on this and I drink it, that's when it becomes the bottle of water, because when I drink it, but in order for me to even for it to do, guess what? I have to do something. It's not just going to jump out of this bottle and go down my throat and for me to drink it. No, it requires of me to do something. So I'm hoping you're understanding what I'm saying. As a believer, as a Christian, you and I have a responsibility to do. You and I have a responsibility to make a difference, a positive impact in the lives of everyone that we come in contact with. We serve an amazing, awesome God that extends to us love, grace, mercy, long suffering. He does not give you what you deserve, and he does not give me what I deserve. Thank God he does not give us what we deserve. We deserve death, because none of us are righteous. None of us are righteous. None of us are without sin. We all have sinned and falling short of God's glory. And that's why it's pivotal. That's why it is so important that as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, the word tells us we don't have room to judge anyone, because none of us were without sin. When the woman was caught in adultery, she was caught in adultery. The Jewish law was for them to stone her to death. They brought her in the courtroom and they had their stones. They were ready to cast their stones. They were ready to stone her to death. But Jesus stooped down. He's drawing in the sand. He's listening. And they're making all of their accusations. They're saying all the things they're saying about her. But yet, Jesus asked a simple question, or a statement, I should say. He that is without sin, you can throw the stone at her. You have a right, throw the stone. Because if you don't have any sins, if you don't have any shortcomings, if you don't have any issues, you're perfect. He said, go ahead, cast that stone. He already knew there was no perfect people there, because he's the only perfect person. So guess what? As a Christian, our responsibility is not to judge. Our responsibility is to pray for one another, to intercede for one another, to help each other to become who God has destined us to become. Life in and itself is a challenge all by itself. All by itself. There are things that happen to all of us that are out of our control. It's not about when things happen to you and I. It's about how we respond to what happened to us. As a believer, we have to respond, and it's not easy. We have to respond the way God would want us to respond. We have to move forward the way God would want us to move forward. We have to forgive, because God tells us that if we refuse to forgive people who hurt us, he says his Father, or Jesus says his Father in heaven will not forgive us. I don't know about you. I'm talking about me. I need God's forgiveness. I know that I'm a sinner saved by grace. There's a lot of imperfection in me. I'm not a perfect person by any means. I'm an individual that who loves God, that is striving to become everything he wants me to do and be. But even in that striving, I'm imperfect. I fall short, make some mistakes. But the reality of it is, we serve a God who is gracious. He is merciful. He's long-suffering. He is forgiving. And so guess what? That means that is the responsibility that you have to do as well as I. Now, I use this example, but there's a lot of different examples that I can use. Because see, we go around giving titles. And in essence, from a Hebraic worldview, we are none of those things until we are doing. Because that is how things are governed. When we do, that is when we become. titles don't make us. We have to do in order to become. So if I had a candle that was in front of me, and I love candles. Now, if I had a candle in front of me or a substance of wax before me, and I ask you what it is, you would tell me it's a candle. And I would tell you, no, it's not a candle. And you would say, Dr. B, you're crazy. What do you mean it's not a candle? It is a candle. It has wick. It has wax. It's in a container. All you got to do is light the match. And that's when I would say, aha. But what does a candle do? What was a candle made to do? Is it a candle? Because the candle gives off what? It gives off a fragrance. It's going to give off some heat. It's going to give off some light. But if the candle is literally sitting and just existing, is it a candle? Let me make y'all think about something today. Is it a candle? It's just a substance. It's existing, but it's not being. When we do is when we be. When we do is when we become. By doing, we become. We become. How do you become like Christ? As the scripture tells us, by sitting on the sideline of life. How do you evolve and mature if you don't get in this thing called life? If you bury your head in the sand, you stay on the sidelines of life, you refuse to participate, you're not living, you're literally only existing. God has given each one of us, He's given us gifts. And not only has He given us gifts, He's given us talents. And do you know those gifts that He's given to you and the gifts that He's given to me and those talents? Do you know He didn't give them to us for us? No, He didn't. He gave them to us to entrust us with them so that we can help other individuals to become who they need to become. So that we can make a positive impact on the individuals we come in contact with. Think about it. I want you to think about something. How many people on your watch or in your hand to pray for, to intercede, to be nice, to be kind, to extend grace, to extend mercy, to help, whatever, and you're not doing it? Think about it. You're not in position because you refuse to do it. Because of your feelings, because of your emotions, because you don't want to. As a believer, see, think about it. If nobody in that illustration that I gave about the 2021 people, if no one in that community of 2020 people, if no one makes a decision to stand up and to do what is right, to love, to extend grace, to extend mercies, to extend forgiveness, how do we advance? How do we help each other? How do we make a positive difference? We don't. We don't. See, it's easy. It's really, really easy to do the wrong thing. Anybody can do that. We're sinners saved by grace. Anybody can do that. But it takes maturity. It takes a power that is greater than you. A strength that is greater than you, to extend grace, to extend mercy, to extend forgiveness, to extend love to people that are different, to extend grace, to extend mercy, to extend help, to extend love to people that hurt you, to people that do all kinds of stuff that are just different from you. See, it takes the Spirit of God to see through the lenses of love. Because see, God is love. And because He is love, and we are His Christians, we are believers, we are His followers, we are a part of this community, there's a responsibility that you and I have to do regardless of what we think, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how we hurt. We have to rise above our feelings. We have to rise above our emotions. See, in the scripture, the word of God says in Colossians 3:3-2, the word of God tells us we have to think on the things that are above. The things that are above. See, to think on the things that are above, it takes you out of yourself. To think on the things that are above, that means you have to deny yourself. To think on the things that are above, you have to look beyond your limited imagination. Oh my God. You have to look beyond what you know. You have to be open to the impossibilities of what God is saying, what God is doing, and how God wants to use you. Even though we are sinners saved by grace, God is so merciful. He is so gracious. He is so loving that he takes a sinner like you and me, and he loves us in spite of ourselves. That's amazing to me. Let me talk about me. That a God loves me in spite of me. In spite of my moody self. In spite of my temper. In spite of my shortcomings. In spite of my imperfections. In spite of when I say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And I find myself falling short again. He loves me in spite of me. See, as humans, we give up on each other. As humans, we don't go all the way with each other. See, that is because we're operating within ourselves. Because when we operate within ourselves, we put people on a limit. We put people on a rope and we judge people. We judge people based on what we think they should and what they shouldn't do. But we fail to realize we don't judge ourselves. We fail to realize we don't have it all together either. We fail to realize we are all in need of love. We're all in need of a Savior. We're all in need of forgiveness. I might not mess up today, but I can guarantee you tomorrow, the next day, or the next day, I'm going to need some forgiveness. And I am so grateful to God that he extends grace and mercy and long-suffering and forgiveness to me. And as a believer, as his daughter, a part of his community, I have a responsibility to extend the same thing that he gives to me to everyone I come in contact with. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my emotions. It is about my obedience to the God that I love, to the God that I serve, to the God that I've accepted his grace and I've accepted his mercy. I signed up for this, up for it. That means I have a responsibility. I have an obligation to do what is right, even when I'm hurting. Even when I don't want to. Because see, in those times, hesed, that word hesed, has to come into play. If I am a Christian and I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Christ, I have to do. See, this does not become water to do what it was made to do. Until it is doing, until it's quenching my thirst, until it's keeping me hydrated, until it's washing the impurities out of my body. If I am not moving and being obedient to the things of God, and if you're not moving and being obedient to the things of God, are you existing or are you living? Are you existing? Or are you living? I want you to think about it. Today is Friday, August the 6th. The 8th month. I love numbers. The number 8 means new beginnings. In this month of August, what new beginnings, what things are God trying to establish in your life? What things you need to let go of? Who do you need to forgive? What do you need to do differently? In order for God to establish that which he's trying to establish in your life, the new beginning that he has set for your life and for my life. See, one thing about God is this: God doesn't force himself on any of us, but God created each one of us with free will. We get to choose. We get to choose every day. We can choose to be obedient, or we can choose to be disobedient. We can either choose life, or we can choose death. We can choose good, or we can choose evil. We can choose righteousness, or we can choose unrighteousness. You get to choose. I get to choose. See, that's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't make us do anything. And I'm grateful for that. Because, see, I don't want to be made to do anything. I want to do it out of free will. I want to do it because I want to do it, not because I'm being made to do it. See, God created us in his image and after his likeness. He's giving you and I power. He's giving you and I authority that we get to choose. We get to choose whether we exist or whether we live. And that is determined based on your obedience and based on whether you make a decision that you're going to get in this thing called life and you're going to participate. There is somebody waiting on you. There is somebody that needs you. There's somebody who needs your smile. There's somebody that needs your kind words. There's somebody that needs your encouragement. That someone who needs your listening ear. The gifts that God has given unto you, somebody needs them. And if you and I are out of position, sitting on the sidelines of life and not participating, think about the people that you are impacting for the negative. Not for the good, but for the negative, because you're full of yourself, because you don't want to participate. God didn't create us to be selfish. He created us to be. He created us to do. So on today, I challenge you. Are you existing or are you living? And if you're just existing, I encourage you on today, start living. There's nothing like it. Start living. Enjoy this thing called life. The scripture says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See, when you have relationship with God, there's a joy and there's a peace that you have that you cannot explain. It makes no sense. See, the scripture tells us in John 15, the word of God says, this peace I give unto you. See, peace is not the absence of turmoil. Peace is not the absence of pain and hurt. You have peace in the midst of the pain and the hurt because you trust God and you walk in his peace. You walk in his love. You walk in his grace. You walk in his mercy. You walk in his forgiveness because you realize you too are a sinner saved by grace. You too, that you know that if it wasn't for God that is on your side, and if God didn't do that which he does in your life, where will you be? Where will you really be? If we really step back and if we really examine our hearts, we will see there's nothing good about any of us apart from God. Nothing. I do what I do. I can love. I can forgive. I can serve. I can pray. I can intercede. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than my feelings, than my emotions. But I have to submit to his will, his ways, his purpose, his teachings, his precepts for my life in order to become like him. It's not an easy journey, but I also understand this word hesed is a powerful word in the book Old Testament. Give you some examples of hesed when it was used. You know the story of Lot and Abram, right? See, Abraham, Abram, he extended Hesed to his nephew Lot. Lot went out and took the best land from his uncle. He chose, so he thought, the best land. He was being selfish. Lot was selfish. See, he didn't consider his uncle what his uncle had sacrificed for him. He chose the best, what he thought was the best land, but it came out to be the worst of the land. But what did Abraham do? He extended Hesed to Lot. Even though Lot didn't do what was right, but Abraham prayed for Lot. My God, he interceded for his nephew, even when he didn't do what's right. See, that was Hesed. He extended grace. He extended mercy. He extended love, even though his nephew didn't do what was right. I'll give you another story as I get ready to close. Let's look at the story of Ruth and the story of Naomi. You know the story. Naomi had two sons. The sons died, which left the two daughters widows. The younger daughter, she left Naomi, but Ruth did not leave her mother-in-law. She stayed with her. See, Ruth extended grace to her mother-in-law. She extended mercy, long-suffering. She stayed with her. She saw her pain. She saw her hurt. She didn't run and go away after the son died, even though she had a right to do so. But she stayed, and she extended what her mother in love needed her to extend to her. See, Hesed is doing and going beyond outside of yourself. It's extending to people what God extends to you and I on a day in and day out basis. I pray this bless you on today. I pray that it encourage you on today. Thank you so much for joining me on the 101 with Dr. B. I am Dr. B. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 12:30 Central Standard Times on this platform. Give you spiritual biblical nuggets to aid, to live, and to empower your life. See, life is a challenge in and of itself. It is. But when we do it God's way, we can walk in peace. I didn't say you're going to walk without pain. I didn't say you're going to walk without challenges. I'm not saying life is going to be a beach or skip on the beach or a bed of roses. Not what I'm saying. But what I am saying to you is this. But when life happens, there's a power that's greater in you that will give you peace in the midst of your hell. That will give you peace in the midst of your storm. It will cause you to love people, to forgive people, to pray for people when you want to do evil. You can't, because of the love that's on the inside of you that comes from this amazing God. So as you look at this word, this Hebrew word, Hesed, H-E-S-E-D, it is the very essence, the very divinity as Christians of who God is. And that is how we're to govern our lives. And that is how we are to live. Not to just exist, but we are to live. We are to become. And to become, we are to govern our lives and do what Christ did, regardless of how we feel. So get off the sidelines of life. Get in life. Participate. Roll your sleeves up. Trust God through the process. What do you have to lose? You've done it your way. What are you gaining? So what do you have to lose by doing it God's way? So I challenge you on today. Why not try doing it God's way? Why not try living? Aren't you tired of existing? 8th month, new beginnings. Thank you so much for joining me today. I pray you have a God bless Friday and a God bless weekend. Stay safe. If you look up at the top, you're going to see that little live button that's red. If you don't see the live button, that means you're going to be doing the replay. Even on the replay, go ahead and put on there the city, state, and our country that you're joining me from. And then also let me know if it was your first time for joining me on the platform. If it wasn't your first time for joining your platform, just make comments in the podcast. I pray that it bless you. And then also, if you look up at the top, there's two different links there. TRM, Total Restoration Ministries, is a nonprofit organization. I don't do this to make money. I do this because this is my passion. I do this because it is the call that is on my life to encourage, to mend the broken today for a restored community tomorrow. What I teach today, how I help people today, help them become better individuals on tomorrow. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it because it's not any money. I do it because of the love. I do it because it's my passion. I do it because it's the call and it's the assignment that is on my life. So if God leads you to give, see those two links, give a donation, however way God leads you to do so. Thank you again so much for joining me on this platform. If the good Lord says the same, which I believe he will, I'm going to see you Monday, 12:30 Central Standard Time. Have a great Friday. Take care. Talk to you later. Bye. Thank you for joining the One-on-One with Dr. B.